Kunal, are you ready?
Always ready to talk Formula One.
Woo-hoo! But today we'll be talking Maldonado. The sweet child of God, the angel. Oh my God, I love him. I love Maldonado.
You mean the new Massa in Hamilton's life?
As much as I laughed on that crash, I love Maldonado. He brought Michael back to the podium. I'm going to give him a Christmas card just right now in June.
You know what? I know he brought Michael to the podium, but given Michael's pace and the fact maybe he could have still gotten there.
I think anybody who steps into a Williams has to do a Juan Pablo Montoya. That's what he did to Hamilton, because he literally took him out.
I know, it was unfortunate. I'm known not to be a very Hamilton-favored spokesperson. Uh-huh. Okay, but unfortunate for Hamilton, he had to crash out.
Okay, let me just check on the rules here. And I really want to, because it's a little edgy, this one. Hamilton literally squeezed him out. So he had every right to come back in.
He went wrong, firstly, by being impatient. You know, Hamilton's tires were going off the cliff. In fact, they were already off the cliff.
Click.
Had Maldonado waited even a corner or two more, he would have surely overtaken him. So point number one where he went wrong was, you know, being impatient. Uh-huh. Point number two is Hamilton had all the right to use as much of the road as possible and available to defend position because he was on the inside. So it was Maldonado's mistake to not have backed off so that he wouldn't have gone off corner and then just made the attack all over again. I mean, it was not that he had, you know, been behind Hamilton for 25 laps and that was the only shot at making the overtake.
Correct, correct. And that's what FIA termed as unsafe entry into the circuit, and was given a 20-second penalty. He just got the single point where he could have scored 15.
He lost a point.
He lost the point. He lost that point.
Senna got the point.
Senna got that point.
However, I know the FIA has the rule book and have the best of stewards. Mm. I think they were slightly lenient with Maldonado.
Oh, you're saying they were lenient? By the way, we haven't taken our names. That is Kunal Shah. My name is Ajay Rishi Kapoor. Together, we do this absolutely fantabulous Formula One blog here from Mumbai. And I have to tell you, yesterday was our favoritest day of Formula One comebacks, because yesterday we saw Michael Schumacher on the podium. That man is so fit, so fine, so happy. He actually doesn't give a damn. He's done everything.
I was just overjoyed when I saw him there.
Oh, God.
Deserved to be there. Oh, finally. God. Incident-free race for him, no mechanical problems.
Absolutely.
No Grosjeans or anyone of the world bragging
and
into
him. And perfect
strategy. I think he was brilliant. And the way he's, like, I remember the last 5 or 6 laps, Rishi, he was actually out of the points. He ended up chasing every single driver and getting into the points, and not just the points, on the podium.
And that's what Weber did, was copy-pasted moves and just kept coming back and back and back. It was just
Well,
brilliant.
You can always learn from a Schumacher. I guess that's what Weber did.
Standing ovation to that comment. I love this man. Getting back from our obsession. What a brilliant drive by Alonso. Brilliantly done. Great judgment. And the worst part is, when Alonso crosses the line, he has lapped Massa already. Ferrari's a different story.
It's a different story, yes. Point number one, Alonso, brilliant drive, no doubt. From 11th up to 1st. You can never ride off Alonso even after he was 11th. That's what it goes to show. However, Massa was unfortunate. You know, he was actually lapping pretty much the same pace as Alonso.
Correct.
I don't know what Kobayashi was doing around him, though.
Yes, Massa has complained of some rear end damage where he lost down first and ended up losing performance. But hey, that's Massa. That's not a big surprise. A lot of people will say that Alonso was lucky because there were 2 retirements, and both retirements were from Renault engine cars. So there's something that went really, really wrong with both Grosjean and Vettel.
Yes, that's correct. Ferrari were lucky. Alonso was lucky. But you know, old motorsport saying, to finish first,
you have to finish.
You need to first finish.
Correct, correct.
Okay, and that's what Alonso and Ferrari did. They waited their time. They were there to make the most out of people's problems, which is a big thing as well.
So, both the cars had the same problem, both the Renault cars.
The official statement of Renault says that they had different issues that led to the problem, but there was a problem in the alternator for both the cars, which led to an electrical shutdown for Vettel and for Grosjean.
I've heard of a hydraulics issue, I've heard of chassis issues, I've heard of electronic gearbox issues. What on earth is an alternator?
In very simple terms, it distributes electric current to different parts of the car that need it. So,
okay.
Very simple. So, which is where, if you remember Grosjean's replay when we saw, he came out of the corner and suddenly lost drive, and that, you know, there was no electric supply to the fuel pump.
Sad but true, Vettel was the fastest man. He should have won.
He would have won, no doubt.
And Grosjean was coming in second. But after Vettel went, and if Grosjean did not have that problem, do you think he had the tires and the pace to outdo Alonso? Because I think he did.
I think as well. We agree for for a change.
Oh, and a pleasant change that was.
I really wish, though, it would have been Grosjean's weekend. In fact, there could have also been a possibility through the race
of a Raikkonen weekend.
Of a Raikkonen weekend, exactly.
I really wanted that to happen, but I like the podium. All three of them have been or are currently Ferrari drivers, and the same race engineers actually strategized for all three and kept talking to them.
It was a Ferrari reunion on the podium, as I've been saying it.
Coming back to McLaren, Lewis Hamilton looking really fast, Jenson Button looking like himself again.
But they were in the pits, literally.
Oh, yes.
I still can't figure why couldn't they get that pit stop.
It was Hamilton's race. He lost 10 seconds in that.
And the position, very vital one to Alonso.
Very vital one. He ended up overusing his tyres, etc., etc. If your jack can't lift the front end of the car and your tyre-changing mechanic needs to, there's something really wrong. We could do the job.
I think it was some panic attacks in McLaren when it comes to their pit stops, and I really wish they rectified.
But their setups aren't great either, because Jensen is still struggling. He does the same number of pit stops but has no pace, ends up using the tyres in a very wrong way, pits a lot earlier than Hamilton most of the times.
I think Button's problem is down to, you know, tyre issues, which of course we all know. Mm-hmm. He's unable to keep his tyre temperatures in the operating band for a long time.
Correct. What I heard from Gary Paffett, who's their test driver, if you may call it, says that because Button doesn't go so aggressive on the tyres, as he ends up getting the tyres to temperature much, much later, and by the time the rubber is already gone, so there's performance issues, rear end issues, etc., etc. I don't know, it's a little too
I mean, all theories currently would stand true, because they all lead to him being unable to use his tyres the best.
But two people who ended up using tyres, track, and little more of the body work on the car were the Caterham and the Toro Rosso, that suddenly came together from nowhere.
Yeah, it seems like they were in a dogfight, like you see with the air forces. They took their fights a little too seriously. Kovalainen and Wern, of course, that was Wern's mistake. And then you had Petrov almost bumping into Ricciardo and, you know, throwing him off. But I really hope Caterham are able to score a point. They need it, their sponsors need it, and Tony Fernandez needs it. And as a sport, to keep the newcomer teams interested, we need it as well.
No, what I think is, Wern was trying to whisper something in Kovalainen's ears and he had to come so close. Maybe it was a little Formula One secret they were trying to share. But very, very stupid move by Wern. Coming back to Kovalainen, I've heard that it's been rumored that he's going to Ferrari. Can that be true? Because I really wouldn't mind it.
So let's do the count again. How many drivers to Ferrari? There was Button, there's Weber, there's Perez,
Kovalainen. There was talks of Hamilton,
Jules Bianchi.
Oh God!
So there's too many drivers, but Kovalainen is not a bad second driver, as we've seen in McLaren as well. But you know, he's done really well
for Caterham.
For Caterham,
because he's outpaced Trulli and his current
Petrov as well.
And how does this magic happen, that our man Naren and his team out qualify another team which has a better budget, and Charles Peak looks very ordinary?
HRT's best performance in qualifying ever. Both cars were ahead of both the Marussia racing cars. Of course, Timo Glock had some bit of issues with his stomach. But unfortunately, HRT couldn't keep up the pace in the race. Not that I really tracked what they were doing.
Kunal, quick question over here. If Timo Glock doesn't race and that car is vacant, why waste a racing seat?
It would have been a brilliant opportunity to give to a Buemi or an Alguersari or a Jerome D'Ambrosio or a Jules Bianchi. There were so many drivers, you know, who would have died to take the opportunity and prove themselves.
But the problem is, FIA says if you don't qualify, you cannot race. And I just think FIA should let their guard a little lower.
I'll still take a step back. I mean, if Glock and Marussia knew they had a bigger problem and they were hoping to solve it overnight, you know, they could have probably given somebody else a qualifying chance as well.
That is a lot of money lost as well in Formula One. No, I'm talking about the money Jules Bianchi would have given them. Okay. Last but not the least, the championship table looks like a really interesting Alonso, a little ahead of the others. But you know what? The McLaren bosses have said that if you win two races this year, you could become champion. It's so close.
Have they already given up the championship to Alonso then? Even in the midfield, you know, we've seen Sahara Force India score 16 points. Mm. You know, over Sauber and Williams, who scored, I think, 2 and 1 point each. So,
which is almost like a podium.
Actually, yes.
And 1 point.
Yes.
So that's great result for our Indian team. We're very happy as Indians. Yay. Before going, I want to tell you that the way Sebastian was flying, unfortunate day for him. In Silverstone, which is a track that should suit the Red Bull cars, and with the updates he has, I think he's got it in the bag already.
Typical Adrian Newey stuff. He's taken a couple of races to really understand what's not.
Correct.
I don't see him being challenged in Silverstone as well.
Bitter truth that is. Formula One it is. It's the Mecca and Medina of racing. Most of the Formula One races and factories originate from there. It is a beautiful looking track, a total classic, little modified these days with a very good looking grandstand, but it's one of my favorites. Temperature should be low. You never know who's gonna come in. Hey, we didn't talk about Rosberg getting beaten by Michael Schumacher. I'm so happy.
I don't know if he's happy though.
I'm a sadist.